Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3. Number 1. Sports Radio 610. Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, breaking news right off the top of the Big 3. Tyler Milner, our trusty producer, what's the latest?
Yes, sir. We heard head coach David Culley this morning say that practice was canceled because of some illness going around the Texans locker room. It looks like we know who is fighting that illness now. The injury report for the Texans is out. Wide receiver Chris Conley listed with an illness. Wide receiver Brandon Cooks listed with an illness. Running back David Johnson with an illness, and Cole Toner with an illness.
All right, I don't know who Cole is. God bless his soul. I hope he gets better. But what was that? Brandon Cooks,
David Chris Johnson, Conley, and Chris David Conley. Johnson.
David Johnson. So we'll see what that is. Because the reason why that is important, because Clint, earlier today, that the Texans, they canceled really everything that involved in person. So all of the press conferences, all of the conversations between David Culley with the media, the players with the media, those were done over Zoom, very similar to last year during the COVID time. And they canceled practice. Man, that's a lot of their receiving core right there. And there's no Danny Amendola. There's there's Cooks that was sick. There's Conley that was sick. And then I guess David Johnson, he's kind of like a wide receiver too, so he's out and sick. So this will be interesting to see how long this lingers and to see if this has anything to do with COVID. At this point, according to David Culley, there is no positive COVID-19 test at this point, but I don't think it's odd that they would cancel practice if they're not any kind of fear that could be a thing. You look at the guys, that's the receiving core. You wonder what then could be close contact if that is the possibility. So this will be something to really follow with the Texans.
Yeah, look, you knock on wood, you hope it's just a little flu bug or something going around and guys will be back in a couple of days. And you hope it's not COVID-19, obviously. But, you know, you hope whatever illness it is not something that's spread throughout the locker room significantly, and that this one day off can help them avoid more problems, because like you said, the biggest concern here is, I mean, you don't have but four active wide receivers as it is, and Chris Conley and Brandon Cooks are both ill, so you could be in a tough spot, in a tough predicament with Chris Moore and who would that leave you? Chris Moore, Nico Collins. And then you'd have to pull
Davion
up Jordan VC,
Davis.
Davion Davis. Yeah, you could be. You thought the offensive weapons and the overall talent on this offense was down before. Boy, you take Chris Conley and Brandon Cooks off that joker, you got a problem.
And Danny Amendola, who's already out. I mean, yeah, that could be the receiving core.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we are, like I said, though, I mean, you don't expect a whole hell of a lot from them anyway. But now with the numbers being, I mean, good gosh, you're going to call guys up off the practice squad just to play in a game.
But, Clint, then you're also wondering of close contact, because that's an entire group that's together all the time. And we saw last year, I forgot the linebacker who tested positive. I think maybe it was Jacob Martin. But Jacob Martin tested positive, and then Whitney Mercilus was out, and Dylan
Dylan Cole?
Dylan Cole was
Yeah, that's when Jonathan Grenard went from playing about two snaps a game to playing 70.
Allowed to play now. He's got 8 sacks. Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting thing. Once again, if you're just jumping in, the breaking news, the Texans did not practice today, did not do anything in person. Everything was either over Zoom because they had several players that were sick. They said none COVID-related at this point. Nobody has tested positive. And we've learned Chris Conley, wide receiver, is ill on the injury report. Brandon Cooks, wide receiver, is ill. David Johnson is ill, and he has a thigh also. And then Cole Toner, the offensive lineman, he is ill. So we'll keep updated on that to see if there is anything that moves further with that.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the other big story today coming out of this with the Texans not having any in-person activities is the Justin Reed situation, I believe, has come at least right now to an end, potentially. David Culley, the head coach, spoke to the media, and this is how he addressed the Justin Reed situation.
Yeah, David, you said you were going to meet with Justin Reed on Monday. Have you decided whether he'll start and play on Sunday?
He'll play on Sunday. Everything, we're moving forward. Back to business as usual.
How did that meeting go, and how do you feel that'll be?
It wasn't a meeting. We just said we're back business as usual. We're ready to go. He served his time, and we're moving on.
All right.
Interesting. You told us it was a meeting for 2 days there, Culley.
Served his time, and
now he just served a little time, and he just gets to walk right back in the locker room. That's interesting. I'm good. This is the way that it should work out. I mean, Justin Reed, I honestly, genuinely, and sincerely, it wasn't a hot take. With this regime, the way they've made decisions, what was relayed to us here in the media, it sure seemed like Justin Reed was a far cry from being able to just walk back in the locker room and put his helmet on and go to practice. Looks like they were able to work things out without that meeting that David Culley talked about. And Justin Reed is back ready to rock and roll. Another one of those situations for me with David Culley, it's hard to take him serious because he sits there for 2 days and tells you they're going to meet on it. They're going to meet and figure it out. They're going to talk about it. Don't know.
You don't think there was a meeting?
Said there wasn't.
I know, but I mean, you really. So, because what it would have been was, all right, man, just come on in.
And yeah, you served your time. Come on in, man.
God, why did he use that phrasing? But yeah,
it's an interesting phrase there.
Served his time, and
Tyler's got it queued up. But they had to. Somebody. Maybe it was a meeting that Culley wasn't aware of. I mean, I'm not. I know you're laughing, Tyler. I'm dead serious. There may have been a
anything's possible, man.
There could have been somebody up top that said, "Hey, Dave, we're good with Justin."
For sure.
Justin's back in, and like someone had a I'm not saying this happened, but I could completely see that Nick Caserio had a conversation with Justin Reed about the standards in practice. And they got something.
Standards and practice and culture. That's not Nick's specialty. That's Jack's.
They're all one. And somebody could have been Jack. Feels like this wouldn't be one Jack steps in on. But I could see that already having a conversation and say, David, man, we're ready to bring it back in. Let's rock and roll. I could see that. The one thing, Clint, that I am happy about is, from our job perspective, it does not help us, as I can hear Sean Pendergast saying, well, we want the drama. But for me, I think this was the best move for Justin Reed. This was smart because, Clint, the way he started coming guns a-blazing, we're in the right after kickoff, stories are being released by Mark Berman because he's talked to him personally. And then we're seeing him leak out with Ryan Clark, a huge voice in the media, in the NFL, come out and lay it down. And then we see stuff leaked from the Texan side of it. I didn't think that Justin Reed was going to go out humbly. I do think this is a smart move because, look, man, you got 5-6 games left here. You're a free agent. You're done here. Just don't have that on part of your resume of, he's some sort of distraction. He's a problem. That's never been him. And I don't know that he's shown enough on the field to completely overcome his play combined with some sort of narrative that he is a problem in the locker room.
The only pushback,
so I'm glad that he did.
The only pushback there shows that I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. I do think that NFL franchises, for the most part, look at what's going on in Houston. They're going to be willing to give the player the benefit of the doubt, knowing what they know about this organization and where it's at right now. But I agree with you. I think it's the smart thing to do is to get back in the saddle with the Texans, get you 6 more games in. Really, I mean, you got 5.5 more weeks. Earn that money. and then get on that first thing smoking.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad he played it this way, because I can think of some other guys on the team that would have went guns and blazes. Lonnie?
Thank you very much.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, the college football playoff rankings came out last night, and the next week's matters the most, but where they are ranked now I think does matter in terms of how far up a team has to move, right, in this thing. So I do think the week before matters and kind of gives you a sign of what they're thinking. And so this is it. Georgia's number one. Michigan jumps from 5 to 2 because everybody just jumped Cincinnati, even though they continue to just beat the hell out of teams. And then Alabama's, they stay at 3 with their, I mean, lucky-ass win in the Plains on Auburn, against Auburn. And then Cincinnati is at 4. And then Oklahoma State's at 5, followed by Notre Dame. Clint, when I look at this, do you think, and it may not matter with what happens with Georgia and Alabama, but do you think Oklahoma State, with an impressive win over Baylor, could jump an undefeated Cincinnati?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, you're talking about back-to-back top 10 wins. They beat Oklahoma last week. If they beat Baylor in the Big 12 championship here, you're talking about an impressive slate of games that they've won, and they've won them at the right time. So, yeah, I think there's a good chance that Oklahoma State could jump Cincinnati if that were to happen.
Because I think my prediction of what's going to happen Saturday, I think Alabama's going to beat Georgia. And I don't know what the line is on that, but I think Alabama's going to beat Georgia, and both teams will get in as they will deserve to get in. And then I think Michigan will beat Iowa, and then I think you're going to be sitting there Cincinnati and Oklahoma State. And if Oklahoma State finishes the year beating Oklahoma, a top 10 team at the time, and beating Baylor for the second time, will they jump Cincinnati?
Georgia's 6.5-point favorites, by the way.
Are they? And I think that's going to be a potential conversation that happens. Now, Georgia may just beat the hell out of Alabama, which a lot of people think, and there's that. But that could be a scenario of why Oklahoma State getting to 5 right behind Cincinnati could be a big deal. Because if that were Notre Dame, it wouldn't have mattered. Notre Dame's, I don't think, could jump Cincinnati because Cincinnati beat them at home. So that'll be interesting. All right, the current draft order. The current NFL draft order has Clint Sterner thinking something about that player we hadn't talked about in a long time. We'll discuss that coming up.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, Clint. You said you were looking at this draft order. You were looking at the draft order, and it's coming together as the Texans, they're sitting there in the 2 spot right now. And I don't know if they can get higher, because the Lions seem pretty hell-bent on sitting right there in the 1 spot. But the rest of the way, you looked and you see some things that's making you wonder about the most important move that Nick Caserio is going to eventually make for the Texans to get this rebuild started.
Yeah, look, I think what I just saw the some mock drafts, if you will. I don't even know, you know, at this point in time, the draft order essentially, right, the season ended today, the draft order in the top 10. I just saw a graphic that displayed, you know, who was getting what picks. And right now, as you said, the Texans are second. And what stuck out to me was the Jets had 4 and 5. The Giants had 6 and 7. And the Philadelphia Eagles had 8 and 9. And So, show, I look at that and I'm thinking, okay, I immediately, just like all of us here in Houston.
And you, those are the picks in the draft.
Those are the picks in the draft right now. Right now, that's where those particular – there's three teams that have two top 10 picks in this draft. And so I automatically go to, okay, well, which one of these guys could potentially be a player for Deshaun Watson? Because, you know, we've talked a lot about Carolina. We've talked a lot about Miami, obviously. There's a couple of different – Denver – there's a couple of different locations out there, but ultimately, I think this thing is. I think there's a lot that's going to play out between, obviously now, but really talking about the trade deadline and the draft this coming season, and so this may be shuffled significantly. But at where we sit right now, there's three teams with two top 10 draft picks, and it's the Jets, Giants, and Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know. The Jets, obviously, they're out. They got their guy, whether we believe in him or not.
A quarterback.
Yeah, quarterback. They got their guy. But I think the Giants, with the 6th and 7th overall pick right now, and they're not getting any better. And the Philadelphia Eagles with the 8 and 9 overall pick, I think both of those teams right now, I think they would both jump at the opportunity to have Deshaun Watson.
Especially the Giants, who I think they're going to – Dave Gettleman's going to be gone. Joe Judge is going to be going. I think they're going to have a whole new regime in who's ready to bring in and make their move.
Yeah. Well, I think even if they don't, you know, shake it up offensively in terms of their head coach with the Giants, I think they're out on Daniel Jones. I think they're out on Daniel Jones from a standpoint of, is he the guy? I think they're through trying, right? Whether it's fair or not, I think Daniel Jones, I think his time in New York has run its course. I think he'll go on somewhere else and be a good quarterback, but I think it's run its course. I think the Giants move on from Daniel Jones. They got two first-round picks, and I think there's a chance that they could be interested in Deshaun Watson. Now, obviously, it depends on who they hire, if they do fire the head coach, what direction they go offensively since Jason Garrett's been fired. But New York, I do think, is a destination place that Deshaun Watson would have no problem playing, assuming they right the ship and get some things right. I think they're a legit possibility. Philadelphia, we've heard. I think they've been in the mix from time to time. Jalen Hurts, I think, is playing really, really good football.
I was going to say, he's been playing pretty good. He had a setback last week.
Yeah, he's been playing really good football. And I think for Jalen Hurts, I still think the most impressive thing Jalen Hurts has done is get himself where he is right now as a quarterback based off of what we saw 2 years ago at Alabama, or at Oklahoma, I'm sorry, when he first got to Oklahoma. I guess it was 3 years ago. Golly, is it three? However many years ago when last time we saw him in Alabama, because he stayed at Alabama another year, then he transferred to Oklahoma. But since he got benched at Alabama to who he is today, it's hard to even wrap my head around the development, the progression, the maturity, the way he changed his stroke. Went from there was no way he was going to be a high-level passer in the NFL to now he's honing some things. He's doing some different things, and he's a lot closer than I thought he would ever get. But with that said, I still think while I admire the hell out of what he's doing, while I admire the hell out of what he's done in terms of developing himself, I still think that the Philadelphia Eagles are crazy. If they get a chance
to get
Deshaun Watson, I think they are absolutely nuts to not make that move.
If they say no because we want to move forward with Jalen Hurts.
That would surprise me. I think you are taking a massive gamble because Deshaun Watson does things in his sleep that Jalen Hurts has to work to do. And really, to be fair, he does things in his sleep that Daniel Jones has to really, really work to do. He does things in his sleep that 50% of the starters in this league really have to work hard to do. And the more Deshaun does things effortlessly and repeatedly, like he just has the ability to do those things. So these guys go out there and they make a great play, and it's one of those, it's a highlight reel on SportsCenter, but do you go, okay, when I watch that play, do I believe he can do it time and time and time and time again against the best talent in the league? That's who Deshaun Watson is. I can't put Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts and Tua and all these guys. Like I can't even see it down the pipe. You know what I mean? Like it's so rare what Deshaun can do that I can see a ton of good in these young guys, in these young fellas. But there's no way I could go, okay, I'm going to roll the dice with one of these young guys instead of taking a guy I know can do it in his sleep.
And who's 25 and not a finished product.
Yep.
Like there's still room for him to grow, and we saw what he did the last year he played, being able to be the distributor you talked about.
Yep.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Tyler producing this. As we're looking at the current draft order as it sits today, there are three teams with two top 10 picks. The Jets are one not to really look on because they have their quarterback. But the Giants and the Eagles feel like teams that could be trade pieces and should be in the market of trying to upgrade. When you look at those cities and those organizations, like, it's not good for those teams to be sorry for long. Those are organizations that are looking to win right away all the time. Clint, I'm glad you brought this up because I have been thinking this through. Because to me, I do believe the rebuild really jumps when you get back from what you get with Deshaun. And to me, I think a rebuild really jumps when you get the quarterback, right? So we look at the Jets, they got their quarterback. Their rebuild is in full effect, but they got their quarterback, and they're going through growing pains right now, but they got him. To me, that's what you're going to try to get back in the Deshaun trade, your ability to get your quarterback. And, man, I'm almost more to a point, if I'm the Texans, Clint, and I'll run this by you, where I'd rather have the first round picks in drafts in the future. Like, maybe not this year, but, hey, can I have the next 2 years, multiple first round picks? Because this year, it just doesn't feel like the quarterback is there. Like, it feels like if I get two top picks, that's great. But if I get two, if I got two first round, you know, top 10 picks, I'm not drafting my quarterback. Like, I'm drafting, you know, other pieces that I hope will help, a tackle or a defensive lineman or corner, but I'm not getting the quarterback. If I got more ammo in drafts 22 or 23 and 24, where, hell, if I got to go up to go get him, nobody's got more ammunition because I got four first-round picks in the next 2 years. Like, I'd almost feel more comfortable with the picks in later drafts because I just don't see the quarterback that's a game-changer right now.
Yeah, not me, man.
You want him right now.
I mean, you're rolling the dice that guy's going to appear. I mean, if he does, you know what I mean? What if he doesn't in the next year?
He doesn't. Yeah, but I know he ain't going to appear right.
Sure,
to
sure.
Me.
No, there's that's valid. I think because I believe this. So this is how I would do it if I were building a team. Like, I wouldn't even focus on the now. If the quarterback hits me in the face, if Trevor Lawrence walks through the door, then hell yeah, I'm going after him, right? But I'm not even messed up about the quarterback. I'm going to do everything I can to build a supporting cast that can take a average quarterback and allow him to be great and put him in a position to where, hey man, you got good, you know, you got average to above average protection in the NFL. You got average to above average run game in the NFL. You got a big time target outside, whether that's a young receiver in the draft or that's a free agent you bring in. You got a big time target that's a coverage dictator outside. You got a tight end that we can move around, that can attack the middle of the field, that can help us in the run game. We got all these pieces. And, oh, by the way, a good defense. We got all these pieces. Now you can take a Daniel Jones if he were to free up from the Giants, right? You can take a guy like that and you can plug him in. And you can be a playoff contender every year. Now, and I'm not saying it is Daniel Jones. I'm just saying in general, a quarterback like that, you mess around and get your dude comes around in the draft and you get him in the top 10 or whatever, and you plug him in. Whenever you do plug that quarterback in, he's got an unbelievable supporting cast. I'm A-okay with that. I'd prefer, I'm with you. I'd prefer Trevor Lawrence walk in and slap me in the face, but if he doesn't, let me get all these other supporting pieces together so that when I plug a dude in, he's got all the ability in the world to succeed.
Or to have ample opportunity to trade up for Deshaun Watson.
Fair.
Like you did before.
Yeah.
That's my thinking. It's just the quarterback draft this year. All right, coming up, Ryan Leaf, former teammate of Clint Sterner, former Dallas Cowboy, drafted by the Chargers, right behind Peyton Manning. He joins the show. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with college football and see if he thinks old Brian Kelly is slimy like his old teammate Clint Sterner. Ryan Leaf coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, welcoming into the show, and we are proud to have Ryan Leaf a part of
the show, Ryan Leaf, doing a lot with ESPN and in SiriusXM, college football work with things. And, man, I appreciate you joining us, man.
Oh, my pleasure. How's things down in Houston?
Hey, heck, he's living his best life, Ryan. He's hanging out with me every day. What the hell you think, man? He's having a good one, brother.
How did you? I mean, what was Clint like with the Cowboys? That's what I want to know. Because he fills himself daily. What was it? Was there a different Clint Sterner that you were around?
You know, we were good friends. That quarterback room was really tight. We had Anthony Wright, Clint, myself, and then Wade Wilson was our quarterback coach, and then we had the youngster Quincy Carter in there as well. So I mean, it was a fun quarterback room. Everybody got an opportunity. I'll tell you that much. I mean, there wasn't a franchise quarterback amongst us, so we all got opportunities. That's for sure.
No, that's pretty good. Ryan Leaf joining us. All right, Ryan, I want to get this from you. You've watched a lot of college football this year. Is Cincinnati deserving of being in this top four because they're a good football team, or are they deserving just because all hell is broken loose around them and they're just in a good situation?
I think both can be true. I think they're incredibly deserving because they're a really good football team. They have players on that roster that could play at any of the top college football programs in the country, and they continue to win. Right now, they have the unfortunate situation of being in the American Conference, flat out. They just don't play the same schedule. And if you were looking at a, let's say Alabama loses by 3 points to Georgia this weekend, and you put up a 13-0 Cincinnati team versus an 11-2 Alabama team, I think probably 90 out of 100 people would probably say that Alabama team is still better, right? Because they're just more talented. They have more highly recruited players. And if they played, they most likely would dominate in a college football playoff scenario. So it's going to be difficult for the committee. It really is, especially if Alabama beats Georgia. Because if Alabama beats Georgia and Oklahoma State wins, I would anticipate Oklahoma State jumping Cincinnati, even being 13-0 and an American Conference champion.
Really? See, that's going to send me over the edge. I've been pro. I need to see Cincinnati. I just want to see Cincinnati get it. So you think if that is scenario, we just talked about this, if Alabama, which I think Alabama is going to beat Georgia. I think Nick is going to have them ready in that game. If Alabama beats Georgia, both of them deserve to get in with Michigan unless Jim blows it against Iowa,
right,
which is very doable with Jim. But you would think Michigan would get in. And if it came down to Cincinnati beating a ranked Houston team against Oklahoma State, who has one loss to an Iowa State team that's at least very disappointing, you think Oklahoma State would jump them?
Yeah, I think a 12-1 Power 5 conference champion would jump Cincinnati in the final rankings.
I don't think it's a stretch at all. I don't think it's a stretch at all. It doesn't surprise me one bit that you think in a year where you would think that a Cincinnati going under a group of five team going undefeated would get in with, as you mentioned, show at the beginning of the conversation, with all the chaos at the top. But I believe that the College Football Playoff Committee, any way they can, they're going to always lean towards that Power Five, especially if they're a conference champion. Ryan, let's talk a little bit about Brian Kelly. I mean, I think it's the biggest thing in college football news right now. Brian Kelly jumping ship and going from Notre Dame to LSU. What are your thoughts on Brian Kelly's move and the timing of that move in particular?
Well, the timing has nothing to do with him, because the NCAA, they've placed the early signing period where they have, right? They've put this in motion themselves for coaches having to move early and get it done. Now, Luke Fickell has a much different scenario if he wants to take that Notre Dame job, because he may go through the process and know it's still waiting for him. But I'm not incredibly upset from a player standpoint that, you know, a head coach moves on when he did. I do have a tough time accepting that the fact that they could still sneak into the college football playoff and he's not a part of it, right? I think he pretty much told everybody in the country, like, hey, I've seen Georgia. No one can beat Georgia, so I'm going to move on and get to a place where I can recruit to where I could beat Georgia someday. I think that's ultimately what this all played out to be, and money talks.
Ryan Leaf joins us right now. So Brian Kelly moved on, and then Lincoln Riley moved from Oklahoma to USC. And it's just crazy to me to think that, you know, we've seen, all right, you leave Iowa State and you go to a power. But, man, we've not seen power to power leaving, where Lincoln Riley goes from Oklahoma, one of the Blue Bloods, to another one at USC. But ultimately, you know the West Coast a little bit. How do you think Lincoln Riley is going to fare out there at USC?
Well, if what the first, you know, 48 hours have meant to the program in terms of their recruiting prowess, it's going to be very meaningful, because what the biggest thing that affected USC during the Clay Helton era is their inability to keep homegrown talent home, right? Five stars were leaving the state, especially the quarterbacks, right? The top three quarterbacks in the country this year, I really think, are Bryce Young, Matt Corral, and C.J. Stroud, all Southern California quarterbacks, right? And they did not stay home. They wanted to go play in the biggest conference, the best conferences in the SEC or in the Big Ten. So the fact that Malachi Nelson, the number two ranked player in the country in the 2023 recruiting class, decommitted from Oklahoma in the moment that Lincoln Riley left and now has committed to USC already, that tells me that it's going to be a difference maker in terms of getting the right guys. Now, I don't think it's immediate. I think they have to really develop guys in the trenches up front, and that means he's going to have to go back to his old stomping grounds in places like Texas, down in the southeast, Oklahoma, to find those beefy characters to fill those positions. But if you're talking about skill position players, wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks, this dude has the best pedigree out there, right? Two Heisman Trophy winners, two number one overall draft picks, a third who was the runner-up in the Heisman Trophy as the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles now. I mean, he has the pedigree to walk into any home in the country when you're talking about offensive skill position players and get that player to come to the big brand of USC now.
Ryan, I think a big part of that, too, is, correct me if I'm wrong, but Graham Harrell was the offensive coordinator out there. So I mean, Lincoln Riley's essentially taken over a program that, at least on the offensive side of the football, is an air raid program. And not that, obviously, USC was not in a great place, but let's not undervalue the importance of a coach in terms of transitioning and in terms of getting that program jump-started where it needs to go. Let's not forget that the same terminology, the same at least skill sets that air raid happens to at least like to recruit. There's some similarities at USC in that locker room with what he wants to do already offensively.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the DNA of the air raid is there. Now, as everybody knows, Lincoln Riley really, he moved off that line of what the air raid was. Now, he has a spread offense DNA, but he loves to run the football. And that's certainly something that Graham Harrell hasn't done and hasn't done well since he got to USC as the offensive coordinator. So it will be interesting. You're exactly right. There are players that are capable of doing it, but he's going to need some monsters up front, guys that aren't or haven't spent the entirety of their career at USC going backwards in pass protection, but getting down in the grass, going forward, getting big first downs on third and short, fourth and short, things that USC really has struggled with over the last few years.
Ryan Leaf here with us. And as we're seeing all these openings, as we just talked about Lincoln Riley leaving USC, the two big ones left are Oklahoma and Notre Dame now. Who are the two fits? Who do you think would be the guys that would fit the best at Notre Dame and Oklahoma?
Well, I think Luke Fickell is the natural choice at Notre Dame. It's just a matter. I know that there were two spots that he would leave Cincinnati for. I really didn't think he was going to go back with Mike Bone to USC. I didn't think he was going to go look anywhere else. I thought the two spots would be Ohio State and Notre Dame. And I thought, before this offseason came to fruition, I didn't think either one of those jobs would be open. But sure enough, the Notre Dame one is. I heard that Jack Swarbrick had met with Marcus Freeman today, the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, probably discussing the possibility of him taking over. He is going to be the interim head coach through the bowl game for Notre Dame. But I would expect Luke Fickell to get a really hard look in South Bend. As for Oklahoma, I think you have a bunch of different options. And no matter who they get, they're still going to be good, right? Because the brand of Oklahoma is so strong. It's been, you know, college football royalty for decades and decades and decades. So I would look back at Josh Heupel at Tennessee, who won a national championship at Oklahoma. He left on not great terms, so that may be some bad blood there. He had a great year at Tennessee in his first year there after coming from UCF. And Brent Venables, defensive coordinator at Clemson. And then I would probably look at the possibility of even Lane Kiffin, right? I don't know. I like what Lane Kiffin has done at Ole Miss, and I think he understands, like, I can get it done here. I can win 10 games. I just got to figure out a way to get it done against Alabama, because that's the difference maker on this. They're able to beat Alabama. They're the ones in the SEC championship against Georgia this season.
Yeah, you know, I like Lane Kiffin because of the OU's future in the SEC. I mean, not that it's any coach of that caliber that OU would consider would be able to make that transition, but you talk about a guy that's done more with less in the SEC at Ole Miss with a top 10 finish this year and a guy that is familiar with navigating the SEC. I would think that Lane Kiffin would be have an advantage at least there. I like Lane Kiffin at OU. I really like the potential of Mark Stoops at OU, but obviously Kentucky said no thank you and re-upped on him. So I love those two. Ryan, real quick, staying in college, man, what's your take on the transfer portal and the way that players are able to move around now in the college game?
Well, you know, I tell you what, if it would have existed when I was in college, I would have been out after my freshman year, and I'm so glad it didn't, wow. Right? Because the impulsive nature of 18 to 22-year-olds always seeing the grass is greener somewhere else, all you have to do is walk into compliance and say, put my name in the portal. You don't have to go talk to a coach. You don't have to talk to a counselor. You don't have to talk to anybody. You just simply could be impulsive, go in, put your name in the portal, and away you go. They have to do it. And there were moments, right, when I was redshirt and like, this is completely different than when I was recruited. You were wooing me and now it's different. I'm not playing, all the things that go into it. I'm okay with it because I do think that you have 4 years to play college football. Because most of these guys, though they think they're going to go to the NFL, are not going to the NFL. 1% of the 1% go to the NFL. So you want and you need to play in college football, then find the fit. Go ahead. Go do it. I do like guys that ride it out, deal with the adversity, overcome it, and then get an opportunity. But if it doesn't seem to be the case, you have to find what's best for you. And I'm okay with that. This offseason is going to be berserk, right, in terms of what and how everybody goes from here to there. Teams building a roster. The University of Texas, I bet, has 33 new players on their roster a year from now, not including the recruits from high school.
Wow. That's this thing is crazy, this transfer portal. Ryan Leaf with us. Ryan, man, I do want you to tell us a little bit about your podcast, Bust, the Ryan Leaf story. I know it talks a lot about your rise at Washington State, the Rose Bowl that you played Michigan in, and to being drafted number two behind Peyton Manning. But tell us a little bit about that project.
Yeah, it's been a passion project. A friend of mine, I don't know if you guys were Entourage fans, but Kevin Connolly, the character of E on that show, and I have become fast friends, and he started his own, you know, incubator podcasting network, and him and I thought up this idea of putting my story in about 10 episodes in podcast form, and it's not interview style, it's not anything other than me in front of a microphone telling you the story from the moment I was born in Great Falls, Montana to where I'm at right now. And there are so many things that I've never talked about publicly that I think a lot of people other than me have talked about publicly and haven't given the real story or anything like that, but also just the rise of everything I did to then the bottom that I fell to, spending time in prison, dealing with my addiction, overcoming it, and finding this new path in life and what it has presented and offered me to be of service of others. And so this podcast, we're only 3 episodes in. We drop a new one every Tuesday. Is already the number, I think Kevin sent me a snapshot today, we're the number 41 podcast in the U.S. right now. And that's amazing, the support from people and how it can affect and help people through the process, not just in recovery, but anything with mental health. I think a lot of people think this is a sports podcast, and there's sports ideals in it, but it's really a mental health podcast, and our hope is that we're going to help a lot of people because they can relate to it and know there's a solution and there's an answer.
I'm excited about just the raw nature of it, Ryan. I mean, one thing in knowing you over time, the one thing that I've always appreciated was love or hate, good times or bad times, whether we're talking about you helping a buddy of mine or we're having fun, we were playing ball. I mean, Ryan's a genuine and sincere dude. Again, whether you love him or hate him or what you think of him, I don't give a rip about that, but he's genuine and sincere. So the raw nature of a project like this has got to be a killer listen, man. So I encourage everybody to go out there and listen. I'm excited to pull it up. And I drive an hour to work every day, Ryan, an hour back and forth, man. So I got plenty of time to catch up on what's going on with you.
Yes, sir. I hope you do. They're pretty short. They're only 32 minutes long. My wife says I swear too much in it, but you know, what are you going to do?
Hey, that 30 right. minute window, that's about the span of each of us now, isn't it? I mean, there's some science behind
yep.
that.
Yep. There is. He knew what he was doing. I'm like, I kept telling him after every recording session, I'm like, you sure this is only be about 30 minutes? You sure that we shouldn't have it in an hour? And I'm like, I mean, where's your attention span, Ryan? He looked at me and I said, yeah, 30 minutes is about right. Let's do
it. Yeah, that's all right, Ryan. I mean, your wife is getting on you about swearing. Clint's wife is getting on him about skid marks in his drawers she found.
So that's why I do all the laundry.
I'm telling you.
I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, me too. She ain't getting on me about that. All right, Ryan, man, thanks a lot again for joining us. And make sure you check out Bust, the Ryan Leaf story. It sounds like a really good podcast. And enjoy this weekend of football.
I will. I appreciate you guys. Appreciate the help. Clint, great talking to you, man.
Absolutely, brother. Keep in touch, man. Have a good one.
All right. That's Ryan Leaf with us, who it was great talking to Clint. And maybe not as much me.
You're going to tell our guests about my skid marks. I appreciate it,
bub. I had to, man. I wanted to get that good gut laugh from Ryan Leaf, and he gave it to me.
Honest to God story. Buddy of mine calls me about 3-4 years ago, and he says, hey, man, I got a brother, and I knew his little brother too. He said mentally he'd gone off the deep end. And he said, I read where Ryan Leaf, at the time Ryan was bouncing back and was running or helping a mental health company. Not a foundation.
Yeah, hospital or something.
That specialized in this. And he said, man, can you help me get in touch with Ryan so I can take my brother out there and find out what the hell's wrong with my brother? And so I got on, like, Ryan picked up immediately. The next day, I was catching a flight with my buddy and his brother, who clearly was off the deep end. Like, I don't know how we got him to L.A. We take him to L.A. Ryan meets us at their office, walks my one of my best friends through, like, hey, here's what you got to do. We dropped his brother off at a house in a million-dollar neighborhood that was a facility that housed these guys and got them better. This was probably 3 years ago, 2.5-3 years ago. To right now, today, my buddy's brother is back making six figures at a job. I mean, he's not back with his family because he may have ruined that, but he's back as a functioning individual in our society, making a bunch of money and living a quality life, man. And Ryan just, I hadn't talked to him in a while, dude, picked up the phone. But that's the kind of dude he is just, I mean, give you the shirt off his back kind of help, man.
That's awesome. And it really, I've seen this on the text line, really love his comeback story and his story of redemption. You can listen to that on his podcast, Bus, the Ryan Leaf story. Coming up, Clint Sterner's football at 4. What's the reason that Tyrod Taylor is still playing quarterback? Is it time that he sits down with the Texans 2-9? We'll discuss that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.